With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within on what the future of AI should be. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman. From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing, the chaos that followed, and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world. Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.
Get one of the most successful broadcasts in television history on your schedule with the 60 Minutes podcast. Hard-hitting investigative reports, news, and culture maker interviews, and in-depth profiles are waiting for you in every episode. Listen to 60 Minutes every Sunday wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay.
Oh my goodness, there it is.
It's the music. Welcome back to Make Me Smart Daily Edition, where Kai and I try to make today make sense.
Some days it's harder than others. Some days it is harder
every day.
Than others. Do I?
I think one of us says that at some point every day by now, which I think means like there's precious little sense to be made, friends, but we're trying. We're trying.
So the way it works is we each bring one news item and one thing that will make each of us smile, and then we send you on your merry way to go forth and deal with these coronavirus times. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
How about that? So I just, because I'm talking, will go first, and I will offer this observation. We have now, through the reporting of the Washington Post, come to the moment in this crisis whence we came in 2001 after September 11th. We learned in the days and months and weeks after September 11th that on August the 6th of the year 2001, the Central Intelligence Agency and the intelligence community had warned the President of the United States, quote, Al-Qaeda determined to strike U.S., right? That was in August of 2001, August the 6th, the President's daily brief. And then sure enough, 6 weeks later, it happened. Today, the Washington Post reports that something like, I want to say several, but it's you know, less than a dozen, but certainly probably more than a couple,
dozen.
Three.
More than a dozen.
I wasn't more than a dozen. Thank you.
Yep. I'm helping
my
you
iPad
by reading
actually
while
just
you...
switched off as I was going there. So in more than a dozen presidential daily briefs, which is the tippy top secret briefing that the President of the United States gets from the National Security Advisor and the Director of National Intelligence every single day. More than a dozen times, they said coronavirus is going to be a huge problem. And yet now here we are, with the president having denied repeatedly that he knew what was going on, that how could anybody possibly have known? I mean, we've all seen the denials, right? And here it is now. And I will just say that there will come a point where these things will be declassified. The president, of course, could do this right now, because he has absolute declassification authority, but they will become declassified and we will see them actually in writing. And that to me is kind of amazing as we pass 50 something thousand deaths in this country because of this disease.
Yeah. I know we are fundamentally a political nation, but this cannot be, much like we talked about on Friday, the idea that, you know, reopening the sort of state of safety has become partisan. It should not actually be partisan to note that this president has not empirically has failed to handle this in a way that would have saved a lot more lives and maybe even businesses, yep. Which is where I'm going today.
Which is nicely done. Oh, what a good segue.
Thank you. Awesome. I had time to practice. It's not true. Yeah, no, thanks. I love the live. This has been, and we have actually brought this up on the show before, the sort of like the all of the ways in which this virus is exacerbating the existing inequality in this country, not least of which is the just as today's example, flaws in the Paycheck Protection Program, which we just cannot stop talking about. But there's a piece in CBS News that basically says upwards of 90% of businesses owned by people of color, quote, have been or will likely be shut out of the Paycheck Protection Program.
Yep.
So far, we have primarily had relief spending other than the $1,200 checks that went out to people that I think maybe I want to say it was our polling found at APM. Is that right? That it would cover like 40% of the average person's monthly expenses?
I don't know, but certainly that sounds reasonable for sure.
But I've seen that number, right? So 40% of the average person's monthly expenses will be covered by this one-time $1,200 check. We've had a bunch of money go to corporate bailouts. We had an initial round of the PPP that with every passing day, we find that there just apparently must have been no rules whatsoever issued around who could take that loan and what their income and cash flow must have been. And we find that it's just an ongoing transfer of wealth or at least existing remaining of wealth in the hands of just like primarily, it seems like pretty well-to-do white business owners.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And go ahead. They only allocated $60 billion of the new amount to small banks in the hopes that it would improve this ratio. But I guess if 60% is what you get out of $60 billion is what you get from $349 billion, you can see that it's not a high priority. And it is frustrating.
Yeah. It's a mess. And it I think it goes to the I mean, honestly, it goes to Congress and the White House not getting it, right? Not understanding how bad this is and not tackling it in a more effective manner. And look, I completely appreciate, and I say this on the radio all the time, that the American economy is a giant beast and it takes a while to turn. But had we been better prepared, see also today's item number one, then maybe it wouldn't have been this agonizing and this truly tragic, certainly for public health consequences, but also for this economy. You know?
Yeah. And all of the things that come after this series of decisions are going to make the inequality that we talk about on our show all of the time worse. Mm-hmm. Black and Latino Americans are dying at higher rates from the virus of whites. Black owned and minority owned businesses are not getting PPP loans. Like the healthcare disparities persist. And even the question of going back to work, the New York Times had a long piece about how restarting the economy, whatever that looks like, will also probably worsen economic inequality. It's just it's a lot. It's a lot to take.
And the existential question coming out of this, really, because the faults have been laid so bare, is anything going to change? Right? Because it's going to take, and look, we've talked about this a lot the last month, whatever. It's going to take concerted effort on the parts of those who have the power and the money to make this change. And do I think there are good actors in the crowd of people that have power and money? Yes, of course. But it's going to be really hard.
Yeah. And we're seeing, like we said, with every day, we're seeing who, you know, who took the money and is not going to give it back, it's going to be incredibly difficult. And to be honest, that's why I keep bringing it up. Because it's going to be incredibly difficult. Fair. And this is just like one of the many injustices that is reverberating. But yes, the inequality part of this is just something that keeps you up at night.
Ben, the happy stinger.
Ben, help us. Ben.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank goodness.
Thank you.
Make Me Smile, we have a throwdown.
We do have a throwdown, and I will tell you, I am not giving up the Marketplace Nord thing, but also I am completely claiming veterans' preference on this one.
That's how it works.
You talk
that's
about
like,
it.
That's absolutely not how
I'm
it
making
works.
It
I
how
am
it
an
works.
Equal participant in this show, and you do not get to decide.
I am the veteran in this discussion.
Stops at the microphone.
That's not what's going on. That's not what's going on. But let us tell the good people what it is.
Then I claim geography. You can have veteran status, and I'll take geography.
Nope. I have veteran status. No. It's actually protected in the law.
Oh, my God. You are going to get so many emails right now. Oh, no. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm Kai, and I will have it all.
That's not what's going on.
No. Isn't it?
Give the item.
Just a little bit.
That's
okay.
Not.
What we're
it's
arguing not. About is the thing that we have long said on this show, what might be the only thing to actually cause change, alien invasion.
And it's coming. It's coming. In fact, it's here.
Coming.
It's here. It's so
and
amazing.
And it's declassified.
Oh, man.
I mean, I think it's actually delightful that we chose the same thing which you can continue to explain from here.
Well,
I'll allow it.
So, Area 51, aliens, and there's been all kinds of rumors for years and years and years that actually there are aliens among us. And over the past couple of years, there have been videotapes taken by, and this is why I'm claiming preference here, U.S. Navy aircraft from their heads-up displays, right? And from their FLIRs, their forward-looking infrared radars and all kinds of stuff, that now the Navy has declassified and officially sent out into the public. So you can see these things with the Navy imprimatur on them. And it's kind of amazing. I mean, I love the fact that we're actually not alone and the Navy is like basically admitting it.
I mean, I think they are. And I don't know if they're just trying to be like, all right, look, it's leaked like five times. We might as well put it out there. Or if they're trying to sort of like get the army of SETI people, you know, and set them upon these videos and try to prove it. Or if it's just like distract us all while we're inside. But it is pretty awesome. They're just like, okay.
I'm down for either. And the best part is you can hear these F-18 guys and you're like, dude, what even is that, bro? I don't even know. Wow, they've just lost all military bearing and they're just like... What?
They totally are. And they're literally, but what's crazy is they kind of denied it too. Like, I mean, I've been, both of us have been following this for, it's been over a year, I think, that these leaks have been creeping out and the video of the Navy pilots exactly being like, seriously, I don't think it has any wings. It's just stopping and going backwards. It's like bananas.
It's like an oval, man. It's rotating. It's wild.
It's like an oval. It's awesome. Anyway, it's really great. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Fine. You know what? 2020 might as well also have aliens. Sure. Bring it. My son, true story. My son comes in this weekend because they know everything thanks to the TikTok.
And goes,
he's so up on current events. And so he comes in and he's like, Mom, what's going on with Kim Jong-un? And I'm like, how do you even know that? And he's like, I'm pretty sure he's dead. I'm like, what are you even talking? And there's like, then he's got a whole page of TikTok memes about Kim Jong-un. I'm just like, okay, you know everything. You know everything.
That's cool, actually, in a terrifying way.
Yeah, both of those things, for sure. Mm-hmm. We're not even touching the Kim Jong-un thing, speaking of terrifying, because time to go.
We're going out there. That's The Daily Show. We're back tomorrow with the long version, the in-depth version. We will hear from you, the listeners. Also, check our Daily Explainers. Would you just ask your Echo to make me smart? I did it this weekend, by the way. It was you talking about, I forget what. It was you. It was you, though. Hey. Thank God it wasn't me.
It's so crazy. It's like me. I'm right there at your house.
That's all I'm
saying. Send us your questions at makemesmart@marketplace.org. Subject line questions. You do not want to miss tomorrow's show because we're talking about the only topic that matters, friends, testing. Tune in. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Our senior producer is Jody Becker. Ben Hethcote is our video producer. Ethan Peretz is our video intern. And Erica Phillips writes our newsletters and our smart speaker skills.
Ben Talladay engineered today. Our theme music was composed by Ben and Daniel Ramirez. The executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves. The senior vice president and general manager is Deborah Clark. There we go. Monday's
Deborah
in the book.
Good. I love the people in Slack being like, was that whoosh supposed to be a UFO?
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought so too. That's what I thought. This is a total UFO just flying right by.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
I love it. I love the on-the-fly UFO producing.
Yeah, man.
Nailed it.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.